Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty, a daily podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, rookie season in full effect. And I figured I'd do a little rundown of some things that I've seen both in the market as well as in some specific scenarios. So I was actually sort of live journaling my stuff earlier in the day. I didn't really like the feel of it, so I've gone away from that. It's it'll be something that never sees the light of day. So I figured to do a rundown and just some things that I've seen through some of my rookie drafts that have begun today. So I do think it's a clear, when you look at the data, it's over on analyticsdynasty.com/real draft position, all one word. And it'll get you there. We actually added a post NFL draft feature as well. So it's great. You can just click on post NFL, go to rookie, and boom, you got it. You can switch between Superflex and start one. Superflex is the default, but it's great. So it's really it's really something. I think that there is some I have seen people other than Lawrence at one. I saw a couple anecdotal, like small, one-offs of Lance at one. I've seen big name people push that too. I know Sigmund Bloom's on the Lance over, Lawrence thing. So, I don't think it's a necessarily unpopular thing. We might see more of that happening. I would go Lawrence. I just think, you know, listen, especially in Superflex, we just know more. And is someone else in this class probably going to have higher ceiling than Lawrence? Yes. But I don't want to whiff. And if I'm going to, I think he's insulated enough, he's good enough. You're probably not going to whiff with Lawrence, at least in the near, in the first, 12, 24 months. I think you got a little bit of honeymoon period there with him. Whereas I'm not sure that that's the case with Lance, right? If Lance succeeds, is his success potentially higher than Lawrence's? Yeah. Like, can he reach kind of like a new, new height in terms of like that Konami code type deal? Yeah, I think he can. But I think, his median's lower, right? That would sort of be my take. So I understand that that's out there. I do think there is a gap there, between Lawrence. And then when you look at basically, guys that who have a median of, so Lawrence has a median of 101, Lance, Harris, Pitts, Justin Fields have a median of either 1.03 or 1.04. So Lance is 1.03 and then Harris, Pitts, Fields are all 1.04. That sort of meshes a bit with what we've seen with some of the data or some of the anecdotal, one-off leagues. They're all included in the draft finder. It should be no surprise that's some of what we're seeing, but I have seen that. I have seen a fair rotation of four quarterbacks off. I've seen a fair rotation of basically Pitts at two, Harris at two. I think that those are all combinations. I don't think that there is a consensus anything. I do think that there's a consensus 101, pretty close to that. I'd say there's like a consensus top 11, 10 out of 11, something like that. Most drafts are going to have 10 out of 11. I'll get to that in a minute. But I don't think there's a true like, hey, like this is a really, really predictable way for this to go off. I think any particular league can go any different way. I sit in one league, I've got 3, 4, and 6. I could see any number of scenarios, right? I could see myself picking Lawrence at 3. I think it's unlikely. I could see myself sitting there with Pitts or Pitts being gone, right? I can see a lot of different things. I could see wide receiver 1, running back 1, and basically quarterback 3, something like that. I can see all of those things being possible with that. So that is backed up by the data. All those guys sort of in a tier there. Notably, Chase is just off the back of that. So he trails a little bit with He's at 106 is his median. So he's wide receiver one by a fair margin. I think it's notable that there is a little bit of a gap there in terms of where he's at. So we'll see if that continues to hold up. But I do think, like, especially in the tight end premium stuff we're taking, like, this sort of matches what my board says. You take Pitts, you take Harris, and you take him above Chase. And I think that's the right play. That's the odds-based play. So Chase fits in a tier that's a little bit closer. So it's 106 to basically 107. So there's a median pick gap there again. So I think it's probably a little bit closer. There's some spots where there's some bigger spreads, but you know, it looks like kind of its own mini tier. So you got Chase, Wilson, Etienne as basically the next three off the board. Chase at 106. Wilson at 107, Etienne at 107. So that is basically where, you know, kind of the line. Again, so could you see Etienne at, you know, something like 5? Yeah. Is it real possible he's there at like 8, 9? Yeah. Like we've seen that too. So I think that's interesting. You know, if I'm going to go hunting, right, if I'm going to say, hey, let's sort of pick out a spot and sort of get to, I want to get one of the, you know, one of these guys. I think the spot to get to is like 7, because I think you're probably, that ensures you one of the top three quarterbacks. It ensures you the top tight end, top wide receiver, or top two running backs. I think that's like, if you're going to try and go shooting or hunting for getting up in the top of the draft there, I think that's, 7 is a very comfortable spot to be at. And if you're trading down, being inside 7, comfortable spot to be at. So that's basically the ordering there. It then becomes another tier. And this is interesting because it sort of matches my tier. I thought I was a little contrarian in some of the stuff that I put together. It doesn't really look like that much at all. I'll just say that. The 110 through basically 111 range. That's Javonte Williams, Devonta Smith, Mac Jones, Jalen Waddle are in that tier. And then Rashad Bateman and Trey Sermon are off the back end of that tier with Rondell Moore, Elijah Moore, sort of all looking like basically a four-person group there. So that tier, that sort of range of my board is kind of flipped on its head a little bit. So Javonte Williams kind of falls off the back of the top, the other top 7 guys there, and then looks a lot more like Devonta Smith, Mac Jones, Jalen Waddle. I think it's notable that Bateman's fallen to 202. He doesn't have quite the sample of data that some of the other guys do because some of these drafts are still, you know, kind of lingering in the first round. So we'll sort of see once it fleshes out. Maybe it drops him just a shade just because he hasn't been picked in some of these yet. Same with Sermon. He's at 202. There's not much equity there. There just isn't. I thought we would get a little bit of space, especially with the fact that, you know, he was showing up on boards that were, ranking boards, at 4, 5, 6 spots lower in some places. I've laid out this Trey Sermon argument. I could beat a dead horse. I'm not going to, but you know my position on it. I was sort of stunned to see that. And so there is a disconnect with the market. I think the market is somewhere in between where I am and where maybe a consensus ranking is. So that's interesting. You know, I did see people talking on Twitter today, like, oh, like every time I want to pick Sermon, I just realize like I'm picking a guy with 4.6 speed and I could just take Bateman or Rondell Moore instead. Okay, go for it. Let him fall to me. That's fine. So I do think that's an interesting spot. You know, I was at 110 today. I took Jones over Sermon. I think that's probably the right play. I'm pretty aggressive on Sermon. I do think Jones in front of him is the right play. And so I did that. I know there were some people watching what I was going to do there. But I did take Mac Jones. The next tier is a little bit interesting, and I'm going to caveat some of this with that there's not a ton of sample in here, so this might change. But Michael Carter's being pushed up to the mid-second. It's going ahead of Terrence Marshall, Elijah Moore's in that range, Rondale Moore's in that range as well. That's, you know, basically after Bateman, Sermon, Moore, and Moore, Rondale and Elijah, it goes another pick break. So that's kind of looks like a little bit of a tier, a mini tier, to Carter, Terrence Marshall. Pat Freiermuth is going earlier than I expected. He's going basically mid-second, 207. Again, I expect that to drop a little bit as we get some more data on these drafts that haven't drafted yet, just because they haven't selected him yet, so it's not incorporating a later draft position. So I think that there might be a little bit of a drop there with some of these guys. And Tony is at 207 as well. After that, it's a death zone. You know, I have the red line of death on there, and I do think – like I have done some things around there that I'm still continuing to try and explore different ways. You know, one of the things that I did was I actually took a couple late seconds and traded down and added Gus Edwards, just because I said, hey, listen, I can take a shot on if the range we're trying to get in here is an injury away guy, I could sort of take that shot with a guy I know more. And listen, I'll take a flyer at 4-0 whatever I got back. I can do that. That's fine. I think I like that. I don't think Melvin Gordon's sort of going on that level. Jamal Williams is a guy I've tried to do that with as well. I think, you know, some of the lower tier guys, I tried with Madison. Madison's just a little bit more appreciated than that. But I think that is something that's a particularly interesting this year. There are people that I trust in some of the tape evaluation in particular that really like Kyle Trask in that range. So I think that's notable. I think Kellen Mond is as a Jalen Hurts type situation would be interesting. Again, I don't think he's a Jalen Hurts type. I don't think it's a Jalen Hurts type situation, but because I think Cousins is there for a couple years. But, you know, there is some smoke to the idea that they're looking for a replacement for him. Again, I don't think it's going to be Kellen Mond, but I sort of get the argument. And I get the, hey, listen, this could be, this could be a Dak Prescott situation, which is something that I thought was, I listened to a really good, some good analysis on him, some people that I trust and file for tape stuff comped him to Dak Prescott just because of a lot of the structure of it. Like he's basically playing with a subpar team in a really tough conference, and that can be really hard on sort of your production, which I can agree with. And you know, basically it looks a little bit like kind of how Dak performed. Again, I don't think he's on a Dak Prescott level, but I'm open to the idea that that there is some upside there. So I think that like the third round is interesting. Yeah, I'm just trying to think in the third round about how to basically not, I'm not going to try and screw it up with wide receivers. But I think, you know, trying to figure out ways to get a wider range of outcomes. To get, you know, some variance in there. I think that's important in a range that I don't think is particularly good. Again, it's the post, we'll call it the post Freiermuth dead zone, right? The zone of death. That's kind of how I'm seeing this board. Of the guys that we mentioned there, De'Ami Brown is experiencing some interest. I think that's interesting. Ramondre Stevenson is there mid-third. Kellen Mond, 211. Kyle Trask, 212. That's all super fun. Chuba Hubbard, 302. Davis Mills, 303. So, I do think that there is some, that targeting, taking a shot, maybe to even take a shot on the cheapest guy. I don't think that's necessarily unreasonable, right? Just take a shot on the cheapest one at the quarterback position. You sort of bail to the mid-third and, trade out of 210, bail to the mid third, and take the cheapest one. I don't have a problem with that. Of Trask, Mond, and Mills, right? I think that they're all relatively similar bets. So that's really the market. I made a couple of trades earlier today. Like I said, I was live journaling it. It was kind of an epic disaster. So we're just gonna leave that one to the trash bin. But some things that I did do, I got offered Najee Harris for, I got offered 101 for like 105, 205, and 211, I think. And it was in a start one league. Now I'm on the, you know, I think if memory serves, that 105 was a trade up. It was actually a pretty good team last year. And I did have some injuries. I'm not sure if I made the playoffs or not, now that I'm thinking back about it. I had a good team at Barkley. A couple other guys with injuries. I think I just missed the playoffs now that I'm going back through my head. And I was able to sort of accumulate some additional capital by selling some guys off, I think is how that ordering went. But I do have, I've got Taylor and I've got a decent receiving core. I've got Dak back. Like, I've got some interesting assets. One of the things I don't have is a particularly good running back 3-4. I got Mike Davis, which is nice. But really thinking longer term, what do I have there? Was able to basically go up the board and get a really premium asset. That's something I think is really, is good, is positive value over the long term. I will say one other thing about, I'm sort of working on a theory about basically kind of team building and sort of looking at, you know, some of the ranges in the draft, some of the ranges of assets. And if you can go from kind of like contributor to star, I think that's something that's really, I think that's something that's valuable, making that transition. And I was basically able to kind of do that with a couple of contributors, make it a star, a star type profile. So that was something I did. I've seen some trade ups for Kyle Pitts that were not all that expensive. And I do think if you're sort of looking at, you know, let's look at team building. Listen, we're going to do some rookie drafts and maybe you want to get some startup drafts later on. You're sitting at the top of the board. And you're like, I like Harris a lot more than I like Harris as the number one guy. I do think it's interesting if you're trying to build out a portfolio, and you say, let's try and build out the most efficient, effective portfolio. I do think taking Pitts in a rookie draft, where he's going, and then coming back and taking Harris. In a startup draft, like if you want exposure to both, I think that's the way to go. Getting a couple round difference between the two. Pitts going like mid to late second, and then Harris going in the fourth. There's a gap there that opens up. I do think if you want to nab both, like nab Pitts in the rookie draft, and that way you can save a couple of rounds of startup equity and take Harris later on. And, you know, I think that's an interesting way to go about it. I think that's kind of like a 400 level play in terms of team building, if you're thinking about it. So that's really the big stuff that I've seen. I do think it's worth really packaging hard to get out of that zone of death. I think that is a valuable, that's a valuable use of your time at this point. So that'll pretty much do it. Again, we'll be covering some rookie stuff. I have some veteran stuff that I have recorded. I'm going to keep recording that. I'll work off of some of the stuff that's happened in rookie drafts. I do think there's some really interesting stuff. I already recorded the quarterback one. I'm going to record the running back one. It'll probably release later this week, although I want to be attuned to any changes that we see in the rookie marketplace. We'll see sort of, those will come out in due time. You know, if it's, there's more updates needed on rookie drafts. I'll cover that this week too. So that's pretty much it. That's pretty much the board. Like I said, go over to analytics.com/real draft position and you get basically you can see all the data, and it'll be filling in. Like we'll get, we're going to get exponential growth in terms of picks tomorrow. We'll just get a lot more picks in terms of more drafts kicking off and a lot more picks in some of these drafts that are existing. So you'll be able to get a much more fleshed out picture in like the third round in particular. So, all right, well, that'll pretty much do it for this episode. Until next time, good luck in your rookie drafts. Until next time, continue to embrace the variance, and we will talk again very soon.